I mean this. I want to just talk with you very personally first before I get into the message. I've just never been more proud of New Hope. I feel like in the last few weeks especially, because I am privy to so many things that are going on, I feel like I have watched Christianity on full display. I feel like I've seen everything that Jesus had in mind, probably not everything, but so many things. What Jesus had in mind when he talked about the church he was going to build, I feel like I've seen that played out in you all. There's just so much, but let me just give you some examples. You know, it's been an incredible week of ministry. I've seen some young Christians especially who have struggled for years with some issues that in the last few weeks have actually gotten some major victory over some things. Amen. After years of fighting. Amen. Years of fighting. I've seen some. We had a person this week especially who all she had left in this world was hope. Amen. And honestly, it wasn't much. And God came through for her in one of the most miraculous ways. When she thought she was on her last hope, God came through and not only did more than she expected. And it was just an incredible, incredible thing. And that's because there are some people in this crowd even today who were working with her and helping her. And to see God come through for somebody like that is just, it's just a miraculous thing. Yesterday, we had a men's meeting. I'll tell you, it was, Mauricio, I went home yesterday and I started writing some stuff down because I was so consumed with what happened yesterday. First of all, Jenny and Carl opened up their place of business to us, and man, it was nuts in there. The workers. No, it was crazy busy in there. They were so busy that it was wall-to-wall people, but they opened up a room for us, and we had the men's meeting in there, and Carl gave us a devotion that I promise you, every man left there better. Every man left there better. Amen. There were some things that he talked about that I thought, my goodness, what a wonderful time it was, and we were all so very, very helped. But that wasn't the end of it. So is Rick out there? Would you tell him to get in here, please? Ask him, please. Sorry, please come in. Stop watching that movie, Rick, and come on in here. Talking about the men's meeting yesterday, Rick. So after Carl gave his devotion, and we were sitting there, and Rick just decided to share something that he's learned, and Rick, it was a wonderful truth. It was not complicated, but it was an amazing truth. And I was just sitting there listening to you, and I was reminded of the verse that talks about Jesus, how when the people had listened to Jesus speak, and they said they were astonished because he spoke as one having authority. And for those of you who were there, Rick spoke with authority, didn't he? He gave us this, and I was sitting there and I was just in awe. And Rick, I couldn't help but think back to when we met. And you went from, we already know that you have the heart of a servant. Everybody here knows that. But I watched Rick become a leader yesterday, a spiritual leader. Isn't that right, Mauricio? Rick, I went home and I was just so amazed at what you did, and I want to thank you for that. It was fantastic. And then to cap it all off, so my heart was already full. And I got to tell you, I thought it was going to explode when I heard Tony pray. He talked to God like he was talking to his best friend. And again, I went back to when we met. Tony was living on the streets when we met. Today Tony, I was just so touched by what you did yesterday and so touched by that prayer. And it was just an amazing thing. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, God, I don't know how you did all this, but I'm sure thankful that you did. I've watched baby Christians step up and act like Christians that have, been part of God's family for decades. I've watched young Christians that have risen above whatever the circumstances were and carried themselves like they were the veteran Christians. And then I've also seen many cases, and again, this is, please just give me a couple minutes to share this. I got to get this out of my heart, because it's full. And I've watched some of the most mature, godly, amazing Christians that I know, people that I'm in awe of at their Christianity. I've watched them admit failures and ask for forgiveness. And I thought, yeah, this is what Christianity's supposed to be. This is exactly what it's supposed to be. And I just, so I've just been overwhelmed. So that having been said, I want to thank you. I just want to thank you all for allowing me to be your pastor. I couldn't help but go back this week when all this was going on and I'm watching all these things happen. I couldn't help but go back and think about how God has gently guided us all along this journey that this church has been on. I know I've been pushing all of you to be more involved. I pushed and I've pushed and I've encouraged and tried to push many of you to get more involved in God's work. Do something for God. Find some way to serve. And I'm so thrilled that so many have responded and said, okay, yes, you know, maybe I could do this, maybe I could do this. And I think for a lot of people, it's a question now of, okay, how? So what do I do? I don't know where do I start? You know, there's a thing about in any venture, it doesn't matter what kind of venture it is. Getting started is the hard part, isn't it?
Amen.
Getting started. Every student in the room knows the hardest part of writing a term paper or an essay is looking at that blank page, right? Every writer in the room knows, poets and writers, story writers. The hardest thing is to look at that blank page and not know where to begin. And often the advice is, look, just start writing anything. Just start writing something, even if you mark it out, because at least you're getting something going, because getting started is the hard part. And we oftentimes feel like we don't really know. It's like, I just don't feel qualified for this. I don't know where to do it. And getting started is the hard part. Building a business. We have business people in the room, and starting a business, you know, getting it started is really very, very difficult. It doesn't matter what the area is. And that includes starting a church. Starting a church is very, very hard. And 8 years ago, when, you know, there were a handful of people, in fact, of the five families, the men of those families that really got together and pulled the trigger to launch this thing, two are still here. One is Jeff Cook. And one is Mauricio. Yeah, and their families. And, you know, and I'll never forget, you know, I told my wife at the time, because I wasn't being negative, but I was trying to be realistic. I remember at the time in the early days, I said, you know, if we still have two or three of them here in 5 years, we'll be fortunate, because that's just not what that's what we end up with. One's passed away. The other two are off, you know, at different other places. But I got to thinking, you know, so 8 years ago, New Hope had $0 to start with. In fact, we didn't even have a bank account at the first service, did we? They took an offering, and it's like, what do we do with this? And so I had to go out and open up a bank account and put that little bit of money in there. There were zero assets. There were zero assets. We didn't have a chair to sit on or a building to put it in. I mean, there just wasn't. We were in a firehouse first, paid $25 a service for a fire every time we met in the firehouse, and then went to a gun range, and then went to, amen goes there, and then went to a gun range. You all, this is the easiest it's going to get for you. Went to a gun range, then we went to a Mexican restaurant, we went to a park, we ended up, you know, the Delaware Board of Realtors. We ended up, finally, we were blessed to meet somebody named Joe Diamond, who allowed us to rent from him 21 North Union Street, and that was kind of our first permanent location. But you know, here's the point that I'm making as I tell this story. God provided nothing for us to begin with until we took a step.
Mm-hmm.
And then God began to provide.
Amen.
If you all hadn't set a date for a first service, God would have provided nothing. But you did. And God began to provide. The week before we moved into 21 North Union Street, the very Saturday that we signed the lease for 21 North Union Street, part of the deacon board went to meet Joe Diamond to sign the lease, and part of us went to an auction that was taking place of a banquet hall that's going out of business, and we bought 60 of those black chairs, the one Tana's sitting on. just like that one, for a dollar a piece. And that's what we sat on for the first year and so many months. And amazing as it is, just before, as we were preparing to move into this building, then God opened another door. We were able to buy these chairs for $6 a piece. Yeah. Now, I know they're a little bit worn and all that, but they're comfortable. Yeah. And they're $60 a piece brand new. Do you see how God was just, when we would take a step and just when we needed it, God would provide. This building sat empty for 3 years, and it had some mold issues, especially in the basement. And do you know, a month before we were going to try to buy this building, God brought a family to our church at 21 North Union Street. The man, what he did for a living, he was a mold remediation specialist. That's what he does for a living. And he came in here after we bought it, and he completely cleaned the building. It was cleaner than if it had been previously occupied as a church, because he had gone through it and cleaned it. Do you see how God does that? A month before we moved in here, speaking of this building, it sat empty for 3 years. I was watching it for a year. I found out who owned it, who the bank was. I knew it was in foreclosure, and so just kept on it. It was a bank up in Marion. And so finally, I would call them. I called them every Monday morning. And finally, on a Monday morning, they said, yeah, actually, we got clearance last week to go ahead and sell this building. We want $200,000 for it. So you got to understand, we had about $2,000 in the bank at that time. We didn't have any money. Amen. We didn't have any money at all. Didn't have any credit. We're a young church, small offerings. But we went ahead and started negotiating with them. From Monday morning at $200,000 to Thursday afternoon, we ended up putting this building in contract at $75,000. Yeah. In Delaware, when there was nothing else available, those of you who know the real estate market in Delaware, there was nothing available. But God paved the way to allow that to happen. But again, if we hadn't been willing to start moving, if we hadn't been willing to take some steps, then that's when God begins to work. Now, I got so many things I want to say. The list just goes on and on. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. And by the way, in 3 weeks' time, God provided about $40,000 for us to not only have enough for the bank to satisfy the bank, they gave us a small mortgage, and we could also do the remodeling. And God does all that, but only when we stepped out in faith as a small church. Now, the list goes on and on from there. Today, here's the thing that I want to talk about. And I said all that to sort of allow us to relive that history to prove what I believe God wants to teach us today. And that's a question that we all have to deal with when we're talking about venturing out. When I've been pushing you to step up and work with our kids, or to work in our nursery, or to work with our bus, or our video, or our audio, whatever the issues are, whatever the things are that you're maybe contemplating. When we venture out into anything, there's always a question that we have to struggle with. We as people have to struggle with. We as God's people have to struggle with. Let me just put it up on the screen for you. Here's the question. Where does wise planning end and faith begin? In other words, let me say it this way. How much certainty do I have to have as a child of God? How much do I have to be able to think my way through and plan my way through and know, well, I've got, I can do this and do this. Where does that end and faith begins? In other words, do I have to know how much certainty I have before I can step out and try to do something for God? That's where we all live, right? Mm-hmm. We live there. We have to balance these two things. And so there seems to be some scriptural principles that even kind of almost conflict. So let me take a look at a couple of them. So here's what we know. All right, so we know, for example, in 2 Corinthians, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes? Amen. We're supposed to walk by faith. So God's people are supposed to walk by faith. What does that mean? That means we take steps, not because we can see the future, but we say, okay, God, I believe this is what you want me to do, so I'm going to take a step, and I can't see beyond that first step. It's kind of like that Proverbs chapter 4 verse that talks about his word being a lamp unto our feet. Amen. Right? Is we don't see the whole journey, maybe just a step or two. And God says, but you know, if you got a lamp here and you're looking at you got this right in front of you, when you step forward, well, the next part gets lit up too. right? But if we don't step forward, this is all we see. And that's what he said. So we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. But then we also have some very practical teaching in Scripture from men like Solomon, the wisest man, we're told, who ever lived. And he said this in the book of Proverbs. Notice, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. So what is this verse saying? Well, this verse is saying, don't be hasty. You don't just jump into something. You don't just start walking. You got to plan. You got to be diligent. You have to plan. In fact, that's what it says, the plans of the diligent. So I ask again the question, so where does this planning end and faith begins? How much do I have to know before I step out? How much do you have to know? How confident do you have to be, for example, that you could be a children's worker before you decide to become a children's worker? How confident do you have to be that, well, you know what, I'll give you some examples here in a little bit. Let me move on. You know, I don't know about you, so here's where I'm at. Here's kind of where I'm at. I tend to lean toward diligent planning in my mind, but I lean toward faith in my heart, right? What that means is I have a tendency, and my deacon board knows this, you all know it, my wife definitely knows it. I have a tendency to say, here's what I think we should do, let's start walking. We'll figure it out along the way. Yep. Right? That's what I do. Yep. That's kind of where I'm at. Our worship team knows that. I get this big idea about, you know, here's what we're going to do for Christmas this year. And they're like, how are we going to do that? Don't worry about how we're going to do it. It'll work out. It'll be fine. You all can do it. You're so good. You're talented. You're amazing. You and my wife and Robert, you'll get it worked out. I'm just the idea guy. And then I call it faith. So I believe in you. I believe in you. I have faith in you. And so forth. You get the idea. That's kind of where I'm at. And I think that's probably where some of you are as well. So Jesus fortunately teaches us some things about this. This is going to be you got to stay with me on this scripture now, because what Jesus is going to do is he's going to make a statement. Then he's going to give two instructions that almost seem like they contradict the statement. Then he's going to make that same statement at the end. So let's watch carefully as Jesus is doing some teaching. He's talking to his disciples. And he said, listen, I want to teach you something here about commitment. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. So Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says this, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now let's take a time out for just a minute. I think sometimes we read this and we forget. Jesus said this before he went to the cross. Amen. Right? So his disciples understood this a little differently than we understand it. They're hearing him say, you have to bear your cross. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't really know what image they would have had in their minds. We have an image of Jesus carrying the cross up the hill of Golgotha. But they wouldn't have been thinking about death so much. He was showing them the issue of, if you really want to be my disciple, listen, not just my follower. Hey, there's a difference between a disciple and a follower. We should all be followers of Jesus, but he said, you know, there are many that are called, but few are chosen to be what? To be disciples. In other words, to be a disciple means to be a learner. To really learn about Jesus, we have to do what he's saying here. You can be a follower of Jesus from a distance. Amen. Hey, child of God, you can be a follower of Jesus from a distance. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to get involved in anything. You can just sit there. You could go home right now. You're still a follower of Jesus. Not a good one, but you're a follower. But to be a disciple means you're learning from him. You're changing. Something in you is changing. We're becoming more like him. For that, he said, that takes a level of commitment that he likened to carrying a cross. Now, here he goes into a couple of stories, though. This is what I want to share with you. So notice number one. I've got to really hurry here because I don't want to be rude with your time today. So notice verse 28. He said, for which of you, intending to build a tower, that's where in Bible days, they would have built a tower on the edge of a house or a castle so that they could see in a distance, see the enemies coming and so forth. He said, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. In other words, he said, look, most of you, most people, before they try to build something, they actually sit down first and they figure out how much brick they're going to need, how much mortar they're going to need, how many workers they're going to need, and so forth. Why? Verse 29. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, make fun of him. You failed, kind of a thing. Verse 30, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. So what we have here is we have this, and I'll be honest with you, I have taught incorrectly this passage right here. There have been times in my ministry where I have taught that what Jesus was saying there was that you need to sit down, you need to make sure you know you have what you need to have in order to build this tower, and that's what I thought he was teaching. We're going to find out that's not what he was teaching, but that's what I would always say he was teaching. But here's the problem. If that's the case, if we're supposed to know for sure, no doubt, I have all the brick, all the mortar, all the workers, I've got enough set in reserve so that in case something unforeseen thing happens. By the way, anytime you try to do something, by my experiences, it's always twice as much and twice as long, right? Remodeling and all that. So that's what we're expecting out here when we work on this elevator. But do you have all that? So if you do that, though, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can finish, then where's the faith? Right? There's no faith in that, is there? Again, talking about building a tower, but that also means, you know, most of the other things we're trying to do for God. If we're trying, now I would suggest to you that if you're building a house, go ahead and abide by this. Don't just fly by the seat of your pants if you're building a house, but we're talking about doing something for God here. We're talking about God saying, God putting in your heart something he wants you to do, some way he wants you to get involved, something he wants you to work in his ministry. And he said, if you already know everything that you know you can do it, there's no doubt in your mind, you got all the resources, you got all the money, you got all the time, you got all the skills, all that stuff, then there's no faith involved, right? And again, I remind you, we already talked about we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, but he also said this in the book of Hebrews, or not. He said, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to do what? To please him. So watch. If we only, here's what Jesus was saying, I believe. If you are only motivated to do something for God, if you absolutely know you're going to be successful, then you have no faith, and that's not pleasing to him. See, I think what Jesus was trying to explain was that there needs to be an element of faith also in what we do, because otherwise, it's just us doing it. We basically left him out. If we only attempt things so small that we can do them, that's not pleasing to him. It's lonely up here. I'm leaving. I'm going away for a week. No, listen, seriously? Seriously, right? So here's the thing. Well, actually, let me go on. Let's look at verse 31. He says it again, just in a different way. He says, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Do you notice the similarity in the two stories Jesus told? Here's what Jesus was saying. Most people will only step out and try to do something of great value if they know for sure they're not going to get embarrassed. I'm going to say that again. He said, I need my people to be willing to step out and do something for my work when you don't know you're going to make it, when you don't know it's going to be successful, you might even get humiliated. He said, this is what motivates most people. They don't want to be afraid. They're afraid to fail. And they're afraid of what other people will say about them. I don't know if you've noticed or not. That's not a problem I have. I don't really care. Listen, I care what you think of me, but not enough to not take chances, to not step out in faith, but I could absolutely care less what anybody outside this church thinks about me. I'm willing to fail. if God doesn't come through. And that's the only way we're ever, and some of you, you get it. Many of you, you're the same way. So here's the thing. So here's how Jesus wrapped it all up. Here's how Jesus proves what he was saying. Watch verse 33. He said, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Do you see that? He said, you have to be willing to lose everything to be my disciple, not to be my follower. You can be his follower, but to be his disciple, to really learn to be more like him, we have to be willing to lose everything. The amazing thing is, he rarely lets us do that, right? He rarely lets his children lose anything of value. But he says, you've got to be willing. And so we have this principle here about this. Now, let me get very, very practical as I try to help us to understand what this really means. What he's basically saying is, most of us are motivated only to try something for God if we know it will be successful and we won't be embarrassed. And he said, I don't want you to be like that. I want you to be my disciple. I want you to get in the yoke with me, which is what I talked about last week. I want you to get in the yoke with me, because if it fails, we both fail. Do you ever consider that? If you truly are getting in the yoke with Jesus, if we are truly trying to serve Jesus and we're in the yoke with him, we're in a project with him, you can't do something for Jesus without doing it with Jesus. We learned that. And if we fail, he fails. Last time I checked, he's undefeated. Right? Last time I checked, he's already won. He doesn't lose. Did you know that God is really good at what he does? Did you know that? I mean, we have some experts in here, some things. There's some people in here. Man, you're good at what you do. You ain't nothing compared to Jesus. He's perfect at everything he does. He never fails. Now, but we have to be willing to do that. So when I think back to 8 years ago, Tammy and I were trying to decide what direction our lives are supposed to go. I had been basically run out of my previous ministry and persecuted and prosecuted and everything else. We were going to sell our house. We actually did some improvements to our house. We were a week from putting it on the market when we were approached by people like Jeff. And he said, hey, why don't you let's start a new church and you pastor it. I said, well, I don't know. We were ready to sell our house, and honestly, we had a lot of offers all over the country. Had many, many offers all over the country to pastor a church. And God said, no, you just stay here. Amen. For the first 6 months, I made $400 a week as the pastor of this church. Not anywhere close to what we had to have in order to pay for our expenses. But this is where God wanted us. We couldn't see where this was going to go. Honestly, if we had said, well, what is the logical thing to do? We need to plan, we need to know, we need to be able to see, we would have never have stayed. And this church wouldn't have been here, following all of those kind of principles. I think back and I say again, God provided nothing to start this church. We had no equipment. We had nothing. And yet, as soon as we began to step out, God began to bring people, and God began to bring equipment and furniture and all of those things. And many of you, you are those people that God brought. Amen. You are those people that really helped define what the church was going to be. So I got to fast forward here. So here of late, we've been talking about this elevator. I just want to use it as an illustration, and I'll be done. So here about a month or two ago, the need became so obvious to me and to some of our deacons and to many of you that we need to do something to help some of our folks get up these stairs out here. Yes. We had $0. Sounds real familiar. We had $0 with which to do that. I mean, nothing. There's no money. And by the way, this church has been operating for the last 3 years without a budget, because basically we just barely meet our expenses because of the kind of ministry this is. And God's people don't always give as they should. Yeah. Look, it's true. But we had $0, but we started researching anyway. We started researching. I started talking to Billy. I started talking to Robert. We're looking. We're doing this. And it's just, well, why would you do that when you have no money? And by the way, we don't even have a good place to put it. That's all details. Forget about that. We'll figure that out. God will stretch the building or something. I don't know. But we just started walking. And we tried this. We tried that. And somebody stepped up and gave a very generous gift, which all that did was kick me into a higher gear. And we said, and so we started talking about building one. And I said, Billy, you could do this, right? This is what you do. You could build this. And then we found out that the state's got all kinds of codes that would make that so cost prohibitive. In fact, it was almost impossible. So we started looking for one that's already made that would meet the issues. And long story short, so we find one in California. It's the only one in the country, by the way. The only one in the country that's tall enough. The only one for sale, used. And so we just bought it. It's like, well, is it strong enough? I don't know. Is it the right color? I don't care. Billy can fix it up. He can modify it. He's, you know, it's like one of these shows that you watch where they take the, you know, like a plain motorcycle and they turn it into something crazy. That's what Billy can do. So we bought it. Billy flew out to California this week and oversaw the dismantling of it. And Donna arranged for shipping. It's on its way here. And by the way, we still don't have enough to pay for it. Look, we bought this building. We didn't have any money. We made an offer on a building we couldn't pay for. And I don't know why the bank even gave us a loan, but they did. Here's the thing. There's got to be faith somewhere. There has to be faith somewhere. For anything to happen, there's got to be a measure of faith. And by the way, that elevator that's on its way here, not a single penny of the money that's been given to the church has been spent yet. Three individuals at each step of the way just paid for it, their part. So the money that has been given so far is still in the bank. But it's still not enough because we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do. But the point is, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, if we hadn't started taking steps of faith long before it was ever even a possibility, it never would have happened. This is why I'm faithful to the point of stupidity. Look, I figure things can fall apart anytime. I mean, if it's going to fall apart, it's going to fall apart. If I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail. But I just know this, if we don't step out in faith, then we're definitely not going to get anything good. We wouldn't have a church. You wouldn't have a pastor. We wouldn't have chairs to sit on. We wouldn't have a ministry. We wouldn't have a building. We wouldn't have any of these things. If we didn't at some point decide, personally and as a church, we're going to step out in faith. There is a line somewhere between being foolish and full of faith. I don't know about you, but my experience with God is He's really forgiving and merciful when I get sideways on that. And so have you all been, by the way. There's been times where I failed. There's been times where I've failed some of you. There's been times when I have maybe made a foolish decision, or I have gone too far, I've said something I shouldn't have said, but it's in the multitude of trying to do something big for God. And so I thank you for being forgiving like God is forgiving. And just so you know, I don't plan to change. I want to keep taking chances. I want to keep testing the limits of what God will do for us. I want to keep saying, God, if we take another step, would you come through? And he just always does. He just always does. Of course, there's prayer and all that. You understand what I'm saying. God doesn't want us to be foolish with our time and our resources, but He does want us to walk by faith. So let me just say in closing, I know, we need to buy new doors out front. We need to put this elevator in. We need to fix these steps out back. We need to start ministries. We have some people groups we're trying to reach. And I understand that You know, we may fail in some of that, but here's what I do know. If we don't take some steps of faith, none of those good things are going to happen. None of them. So here's my question for you. What does God want you to do? What does God want to do through you is a better way. Does God maybe want to teach some children through you? I know I've hit that hard today, but look at these children here. Don't they deserve to have their own class downstairs on the third Sunday of each month? But it's got to be somebody who's willing to step up and say, yeah, I'll do that. I shouldn't have said, I can do that. I will do that. You don't have to know everything. All the kids, look up here, please. I want you to do this. I want you to take your fingers. I want you to do this. Do that, all of you. See, they're all pretty dumb. They don't know much. So you can take them out now. So you don't have... Well, she should be obedient and put her fingers in her ears, like I said. Just like her mother. So, look, they're the most forgiving people in this church. All they care about is, do you care about them? And do you have cookies? Right? Right? That's all you care about, right, Chloe? See? She's totally nodding. That's all they care about. You can totally lay an egg as a lesson and give them a cookie and they're good. Maybe work in the nursery, maybe greet some people out front, maybe help us put in this elevator, maybe help us back here, maybe do something like that. Maybe you could step up and work this camera back here and video editing and audio and all that stuff that we've been talking about. All these things we've been talking about. There are plenty of places to serve God. If you're waiting until you feel like you've got it all together, like you know how to do it, you can do it. If you're waiting until you can do it and you know you can do it, well, that's probably never going to happen. And if it does, God's not going to be pleased because there's no faith. So here's my last question. If you can do it already, if you're sitting there saying, well, there's some things I know I can do, I just don't want to do and all that. If there's some things I already can do, then why aren't you? Why aren't you? You have musical ability and you're not using it? Why? You have a gift to work with children and you're not using it? Why? Because last time I checked, Jesus said, whatever you do for these, you've done for me. And it seems like if there's something that we can do and we're not doing it, it seems like that's not something that Jesus is okay with. But if you don't have that confidence, I want you to know, we don't have to be foolish to step out in faith.